Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And I trust that you are well. The Lord is keeping and watching over your life. You know, yesterday we started looking at the word of God, and we were looking at Colossians chapter 3, and we are speaking about putting on the new man. And in Colossians chapter 3 from verse 12, the Bible started to speak about the character of the new man. You know, earlier on, it says that there are things that are for the old man. That means there are certain characters, there are certain behaviors, there are certain acts of sinful nature that belong to the old man. And this old man was buried in baptism, was buried in Christ, and we have been raised up to a new man in Christ. Now, when you give your life to Jesus, then there is a life that you used to live before you gave your life to Jesus. And that life needs to be let go, because you need to put to death. And how do you put it to death? It is by the Spirit. You know, through the Spirit, you crucify, you put to death the deeds of the flesh. So on the earth, our members that are on the earth, we put them to death. How do we put them to death? By denial, by refusal to give in to sin, by knowing that we are not slaves to sin, by revelation, by fear of God. And when we understand that it is the grace of God that helps us to live in righteousness, then we too also can understand that there are things that we put off, but then there are things that we put on. So we put on the new man. And we're able to see from verse 12 where it says, therefore, as the elect of God, that means the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy. So there's a character of the new man. And even as we move into looking at the aspects of the home, then how will the Christian home be? It is only based on the foundation of the transformed new man. Think about it. When it says put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Can you picture a family or a Christian home in which the husband and the wife are applying this character of the new man? Both of them are expressing tender mercies. The man and the woman are expressing kindness to one another and to those outside them. They're expressing humility. There is no one who is lording over the other. There is no expression of pride. There is no expression of hatred. There is no expression of exploitation. Think of that meekness. Think of that long-suffering, where you are patient with one another, that you know that God is still in the business of working on your spouse. Just as the same way that, yes, you are ahead or you are more deep in the things of God, but you didn't just arrive there in a day. It took time for God to work on you and to work in your heart. And likewise, too, also, God will use the same time, maybe shorter, maybe longer, depending on their willingness and submission, to also work on them. And that's the place where there is that long-suffering patience. Then it says, bearing with one another, carrying each other's burdens. In a family, when the brothers and sisters carry each other's burden, when husbands and wives carry each other's burden, then it gets to a place of sharing. You share what you have. There is an understanding of what you have and what you don't have. And you're able to balance it out, because God has a way of connecting people that can work in harmony, in complementarity. Because when they are complementary, then they can use all of their combined strength. And the Bible speaks of one chasing 1,000 and two chasing 10,000. So when you are two, when two are together, they can keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? You know, the Bible tells us that two are better than one. So there is that bond. And they're saying that even if someone has a complaint, think about it. If there is a complaint against one another, you can bring it to Christ. You can speak about it. And because Christ also forgave you, you too can forgive one another. And he says, because as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Look at that. There is a must. Huh? And then he says, verse 15 and verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, or put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. If you're going to have something that will tie you with perfection, a bond of perfection, it is love. Love is the foundation to any Christian home, to any perfect home, to any perfect relationship, love. Because all these are expressions of love. Remember, love is patient, love is kind, it does not seek its own, it's not easily angered, it is not jealous, you know, it keeps no record of wrongs, love never fails. All these are expressions of love. You know, the law of the new covenant is summarized in love. One is love for God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then the second is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, if you understand these aspects of love, then you are in the place of peace, and you're in the place where you can rest and know that you're fulfilling God's commandments. Now, think about it. And then it says, let the peace of God, verse 15, rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. So there's a place of thanksgiving. When you live a life of thanksgiving, then you can be at peace with God. When you're at peace with God, you can be at peace with fellow man. You know, complaining is always a heart of ingratitude. There is no one that is always complaining that will be blessed. Think about the Israelites. All they were murmuring is, oh, we had water, or we had onions, or we had garlic, or we had melons. All they could think of was the difficulties of the desert. Yet God was seeing their heart, and God says 10 times, you know, these people have quarreled with me, and they have complained against me. They have raised their voice against me. And he says, now I'm going to destroy them from the face of the earth. And Moses has to stand in between God and the people, and God changes his mind. He said, no, I mean, if you destroy these people, what will people say about your reputation that you brought these people out of Egypt just to go and scatter them in the desert? No, let it not be so. And Moses pleads, and God relents, because God is a God of mercy. And he says that we can trust in him. But you know, if we are thankful, if we learn thanksgiving, thanksgiving brings multiplication to our lives. Thanksgiving opens doors that no man can shut. Thanksgiving is that place that returns the glory back to God. In fact, God expects glory to be brought back to him. Think about Jesus when you're speaking about the 10 lepers. And he said, were not 10 healed? And where are the 9? And he says, were not any found to come and return the glory back to God? And the Samaritan who came, he receives the blessing of God, and he's told, go, and you have been made well, and his body is renewed to even to wholeness. So there is thanksgiving that is a core foundation of the family. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So when the word of Christ dwells in you richly, this is where you have understood the scriptures. You have gotten the revelation from God. And then as you meditate on that word, as you meditate, as you think, let's say it's a word that, let's say, this mountain, if anyone has faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast forth into the sea. Then you start to think about that word, and you meditate on it, and you start to reflect, if I have faith as small as a mustard seed. Then you imagine, so I don't even need much faith. I just need faith as small as a mustard seed, as one that can survive the seasons, the difficulties, the world. But this small seed has the capacity, has in it a whole tree. And as you meditate on those, then the Bible says the wisdom starts to unfold. You know, dwells in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. So as you reflect on the wisdom of God, on the teaching of God, on what Christ has done,
then what happens is that then it comes forth in a song. It comes forth in a psalm. No, this is the place where you sing it back. You sing it back to God. Comes forth in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. And the Bible says, singing with grace in your hearts. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there is a place of thanksgiving. Now the new man is living according to God. The new man is living according to God. Now then, when you've understood who is the new man, when you've understood that everything that you do it in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to the Father through him, then now he brings the aspect of, now look at how that new man in your wife, that new man in your husband, now he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. You see, it is very easy to submit to the transformed man, to the man who has put on Christ. It is very easy for a husband to lead if he is transformed to the image of Christ. When it says husbands, now verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Now, when the husband is putting on the new man, the character of the new man, the garment of the new man, the tender mercies, the love, the long-suffering, the humility, the meekness, then loving your wives and not being bitter towards them flows easily. You know, bitterness is what leads to all this hypertension and pressures that people have. And forgiveness. The Bible speaks of how that is how God will treat everyone who does not forgive his brother from the heart by throwing them into jail and handing them over to tormentors until they pay. Bitterness and forgiveness opens doors to demonic spirits to oppress people. Demonic spirits of anger, of divorce, of depression, all these demonic spirits gain access to individuals through bitterness, through unbelief, through hatred, through unforgiveness. Now, when it says, wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord, that means there is a foundation also for submission. It is willingly, because no one submits to the Lord forcefully, but out of the love that they have seen, out of the character of God that they have seen, out of the faithfulness of God they have seen. Now, likewise also, when wives, when you see that God has placed authority even in the home, even in the workplace, even in the church, there is a way that we interact with authority. We submit to authority. Why? Because God has placed them there for a reason. You know, when the Bible says that pray for our leaders that we may live peaceful lives, when it speaks that there is not without reason that the leaders are giving the sword, you know, that means they are given an authority. That authority can enable them to either make or break nations, to make or break people. All authority comes from God. It comes from God. And if we disrespect authority, we dishonor God. But also there is a caveat to it, as is fitting in the Lord. That means authority remains authority as long as they are in alignment with scriptures. But you see, when authority is outside of alignment of scriptures, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. That means when I stop following Christ, don't follow me. The Bible is saying, wives, submit to your own husbands. Not to, you know, people focus so much on submission to others outside there, but the focus is to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. And it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. You know, God's guidance is not just for wives. God's guidance is not just for husbands. But God's guidance is also for children. Children must be taught to obey. You know, when it speaks about train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training, the home is a spiritual training ground for families. And by the grace of God, we must train families on how to raise up children, on how to educate them, and on how to ensure that families and homes have the right discipline environment. This is the only way. And the Bible says, when children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That means when we honor God, when we teach, when children obey their parents, it pleases the Lord. That means we have, as children, we need to listen to our parents. We need to obey our parents. This pleases God. And anything that you do that pleases God is a great blessing. In fact, honor your parents, your father and mother, is the only commandment with a promise of long life. And you shall have a long life. God has weaved certain promises in our lives through also our obedience. You want to live long life, honor your parents. They may be elderly. They might not be as educated as you think or as you are, but they are still your parents. They have sacrificed for you. They have gone into various labors and efforts for your sake. The Bible is very clear. Let us honor them. Let us honor them. And then look at what, there's also a caveat to that. You see, it's not just plain obedience. Oh, Father will order and order. But God is also concerned with the relationship of the fathers to the children. And he says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. That means there's a place where fathers can provoke their children to anger. They can provoke their children to discouragement. They can embitter their children. You can find children that are bitter against their parents. Why? Because they are being provoked. You can find parents who just take advantage of their children. They're like, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this, you're working and all this. And they don't understand also that maybe these children too have needs. So as parents, in the exercise of their discipline, Bible says, fathers, do not provoke your children. And this applies not just for biological children, also for spiritual children. You find spiritual parents who also take advantage of their children, yet they don't understand the basic principles of the word, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That it's not the children who are to save up for their parents, but it is the parents who save up for their children. Someone is your father, they will spend on you. They will take care of you, not just take from you. Look at the caveat also, the guidance of God, even on those that work for you, bond servants, slaves, or servants who are working in your house. Verse 22 says, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, and not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Look at what God is saying. He's saying that even you as a servant, even the servants who work for their masters, and remember in that time there was still slavery, there were those who were, you know, working in households, but then bond servants were those who were set free, but they said, no, my master is good, I want to stay with him. You know, but they're saying that in all things, obey your masters according to the flesh. That means that we don't serve only when we are being seen. You know, when it is eye service, you're only doing well because your master is watching. Your eye service is only to please men, as men please us, but in the sincerity and fear of God. If we have a sincere heart, if we fear God, if we apply this not only in where in for the servants, but also where we work in our offices, there is something that we do not because men are seeing, but because we are doing it as unto the Lord. And that's why the Bible is very key that you see with sincerity of heart, fearing God. And it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, with joy, you know, as unto the Lord and not to men. Do you work as unto the Lord, or do you work as unto men? And it says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Any servant, anyone that is working, anyone that is employed, who has this revelation that I am not doing it for human beings. I'm not doing it to gain promotion, but I am doing it to serve the Lord Jesus Christ will be blessed. Why? Because you will receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Your service is not to man, but unto God. And verse 25 says, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, for there is no partiality. God is very keen that, you know, this is how you are to go about it. This is what you are to do. But also know this, that if you do wrong, you shall be punished for it. Now, it's not the plan of God that anyone should fail and that, but there is a guidance for it. But look at even how chapter 4, verse 1 also goes into it and says, masters, give your bond servants what is just and fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Bosses, God is also saying, give your servants also what is fair. As they serve you heartily, as they give of themselves, honoring God as unto Christ, you too also. Remember, you have a master in heaven who sees what you do. He sees whether you've treated your workers fairly. Remember, he says, he's the same God who says that the wages you pay, you fail to pay your workers, are crying out against you. They cry, as they cry out to God, then God also will hear their cry. So God is providing a balance. Yes, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit. Children, obey your parents in all things. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Servants, serve your master with all diligence, with not as eye service, but as unto the Lord. You are serving Christ. But it also says, masters also, you take care to give your those that you work for you what is enough. There is a balance that God establishes in the Christian home, in our relationship. There's a balance in relationships, but the foundation that will help us to work, that will help us to do everything heartily as unto the Lord, is the character of the new man. The foundation of the new man in love, in meekness, in humility, putting aside the deeds of the flesh, putting aside the anger, putting aside the, you know, the hatred, the complaints against one another, but serving one another in love. When we put on that bond of perfection, the bond of perfection, love, which is the bond of perfection, then we shall be established in our relationships at the family level, in our relationship at the work level, in our relationship at the business level. And we can be able to grow as a people, knowing and understanding that God has bound us together. And that's why we sing that song, bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. So there is a binding that the Spirit of God does through the love that he sheds abroad all over our hearts. And I pray that God will give you insight into all this. May God strengthen, sustain you, and watch over your life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come forth to us, that indeed you know us by name, you know our needs, you know where our waking up and our sleeping, you know everything that concerns us. We submit our lives to you. And Lord, you cleanse us with the blood of Jesus, purify us from all unrighteousness, keep and sustain us. We honor you, we adore you, and we magnify you. Guide our steps, O God. May we trust in your promises, which are yes and amen, O God. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. We come against sickness. For anyone that is sick, I pray that you touch them, encourage them, and be with them, strengthen and watch over them. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shalom, shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day in God's presence.